This is the Epilogue Audio Experience.
A quick disclaimer for our podcast, The SOS Show. Points discussed in this podcast should not be relied upon as conclusive medical advice in any case. The host shall not be a substitute for proper medical professional. You must seek professional help in case of any requirement. Thank you. Hi guys, welcome to the SOS Show podcast with me, Suchita, and I'm elated to present today's guest to you. Mingyur Rinpoche is a reincarnated Lama, which means that he has been reincarnated again into this world. And that's the first question I actually ask him, that how do you know that you are reincarnated? And this is such an enlightening and favorite conversation of mine, where I want to talk about life, about living, about our purpose here, about meditations, about handling relationships, about the daily chase, about our own well-being and wellness and wholesome living. Rinpoche is also a best-selling author, and one of his most popular books is Joyful Living. Do check it out. You can also find him on his website, yongefoundation.org. Enjoy the conversation.
Hello Rinpoche, welcome to our podcast, The SOS Show, and it's so wonderful to have you on our show while you're in Bombay, and so grateful for your time. And just to start with, how did I find you, and why is it that, you know, it's so, this conversation is so important, because we're going to be talking about awareness, meditation and well-being. That's actually our birthright. That's why we are here. So with all your knowledge, all your enlightenment, just to start off with, you are a reincarnation of Mingyur Rinpoche, the seventh reincarnation, if I'm not wrong. What is your understanding of reincarnation, and what do you think, how much of it is that common people should understand about it?
The reincarnation, so normally in I'm the seven, that is the according to our Buddhist teaching, what we call, everybody has the wonderful mind, and the fundamental quality of the mind is what we call unborn. So things that aren't born, then you cannot die. Why? It is emptiness, shunyata. But of course, shunyata, emptiness, doesn't mean nothing. Because of emptiness, everything can manifest. So there is what we call lucidity of the mind,
yes,
luminosity aspect of the mind. So that never dies. But of course, when we not recognize the luminous mind itself, then it go round. That's called samsara. So the reincarnation is just like last year to this year, and this year to next year. So we are reincarnating every day. And when we really so-called die, this gross body is gone, but the subtle body, what we call the sometimes what we call wisdom body,
yes,
subtle body,
yes,
still continue. It change into different form.
Yeah.
Like electricity, yes, go into the,
yes,
laptop, different function. With the mic, another function. With the photo camera,
yes,
another function.
Yes.
But the energy is goes to different thing,
yeah,
in the different body.
Lovely.
So that's the what we call reincarnation.
Yeah. So we are all energies. We are all energies in like they call entropy. So we are sort of, we are shifting. We are shifting different forms, but the energy remains the same. So you're saying that as in a reincarnation. So you're the seventh reincarnation. You were another person, but the energy was the same, that's continuing and coming as another person with another body.
Yeah, similar. So what we call prana.
Yes.
Prana meaning energy.
Yes.
But the mind is beyond energy also.
Yeah.
But they work together. What we call like horse and rider.
Yes.
The energy, prana,
yeah,
with the body,
yes,
like horse, mind, rider.
Yeah.
And they always go together.
Yeah.
So if you want to plant a seed, first maybe grain, change to sprague, then become trunk, then become fruition again. But this continuation is similarity, but change a different form, different form.
Lovely. Tell me, Rinpoche, how do you define life? What is life? And what are we doing here in this form? Since we are changing forms, and since we are going to die eventually, and we do not know what time we come, we do not know what time we are going to go, you know.
Right.
Nothing is in our hand. Everything is like unknown. What is it that we are doing on this planet? What is our role exactly?
Yes. So we don't believe one fixed purpose of your life, fixed role particular for your life, because sometimes cannot. It depends on how you look at. Everybody can be different, depend on your perspective. But for me, the meaning of life, the real meaning of life is two things for me. First, try to discover your innate qualities. This wonderful mind has love, compassion, wisdom, awareness, potential. Everything's there. Mind is wonderful, like treasure. But the treasure is hidden under the ground.
Yes.
So we need to discover. So that's the first purpose of my life.
Yeah.
Second, try your best to help others, whatever you can, to pursue the life, helping people, society, many different ways.
Yeah.
So these two, for me, the meaning of life.
Yeah. So helping others, being compassionate towards others, is a complete contrary to how the world outside right now is functioning, in the sense that what we see is conflicts, what we see is war, what we see is a lot of politics. The outside world is complete contradictory to the philosophy of what you are saying, which is ideally what life should be. And that is also affecting the mental health and well-being of people. So when you talk about war, you feel, okay, you know, what is my future going to be like? Despite the fact that actually there is no future, it's all unknown, you know. So how do human beings behave themselves or adapt their mindset to something which is of a larger picture rather than focusing on smaller things?
So normally what we call, if we have 10 qualities, one negative, nine positive.
Yes.
What we see is only one negative one, and we exaggerate that one.
Huh.
But actually, we have nine good qualities within us, about the world, and within everybody's mind and heart.
Yeah.
But the problem is, we are not recognized. We are not recognized our innate qualities. So now there's a lot of conflicts, war coming. Of course, there's a problem. There's a surface level. We have this, what we call unhealthy sense of self, which is egoistic. I have to win. Others don't want to win.
Yeah.
But the below that, we have a lot of good qualities, 90%. But when we think about the world, we always think world is getting worse.
Yes.
But when we look at the history, much better now.
Oh.
So maybe 60 years before, a lot of war everywhere.
Yes.
And people just killing each other just because of few words.
Yeah.
Of course, there's still conflicts now in the world.
Yeah.
But we should not give up. We should not say, okay, the world is getting worse, no hope. I think that's not the way to do it. We should have hope.
Yeah.
We still inspire about peace, kind, compassionate, and also wisdom. Compassion, wisdom has to be together. And hopefully, I hope still, world getting better and better every year.
Wisdom and compassion.
Wisdom and compassion. Together.
Hold on to it.
Yes.
Together.
Only compassion.
Yeah.
Doesn't help much. Only wisdom, dangerous. You need to join together.
Join the wisdom and compassion.
Together.
How do you join the wisdom and compassion together? What do you do? Where does it come from?
So actually, we all have love, compassion, wisdom, awareness. Everybody has that one. 24 hours.
Yeah.
When I was young,
yeah,
I learned this from my father.
Yeah.
That time I was 9 years old. I don't believe.
Yeah.
I thought impossible because I was having panic attacks.
Wow.
That time. But yeah. Now I believe. So it's there with us, but we need to discover it. We need to recognize that. That's all.
It's there, but we need to discover it and we need to recognize it. So how do we discover and recognize our own wisdom and compassion, which is innate inside us? If I'm not mistaken, meditation is one of the ways to discover it. But there's so many different forms of meditation. There is loud chanting, sound meditation, silent meditation, meditation on your breath. And the different forms of meditation, that as far as I, the way I have read or the way I have done in my earlier podcasts, is that it takes you into different brainwave states, which is calming. So if you reach your theta brainwave states or your delta, you're able to access deeper self of your own self, like your subconscious mind. What are your thoughts when it comes to how do you meditate and what are your thoughts on meditation?
So how to discover this innate well-being? Three ways normally. One, of course, through meditation.
Yes.
Second way, through problem, through challenge.
Okay.
So if you are having problem, and especially if you don't give up, then this quality will manifest. So sometimes we think, I cannot do that, that is impossible for me. But then if you try later, you surprise yourself. I did it. I never thought that I have that skill or capacity, you know. So, problem or doing through experience, you can discover your innate quality. Number three, of course, through learning, through education. So, three ways. And with the meditation, there are so many meditation techniques, but normally what we call all the meditation techniques belong to two categories.
Yes.
One is what we call shamatha. Shamatha meaning being, not analyzing, but mind resting with the object or itself. Second, what we call insight meditation, vipassana meditation, meaning to connect with the wisdom, to analyze the nature of reality. To get insight.
Yes.
So two kinds of meditation. So the shamatha, like being, could be so many things. Could be chanting, mantra, imagination, feeling, breathing. But all this can be related with something with the visual or sound, smell, taste, bodily sensation, or the mental imagination. So we only have six senses,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So all whatever object related with being with that becomes shamatha meditation.
Yeah.
And then vipassana, now you need to explore the nature of phenomena. For example, look at the table, what we perceive table, what that real table are, totally different.
Yes.
So we need to use the being mind
to
explore the nature of reality. So that's what we call insight meditation. So calm abiding, which is a being, and insight meditation, too. All the meditation can be categorized, too.
All the So what is it that you practice? What are the how did you get the insights and the enlightenment?
I'm not saying I'm enlightened.
Okay.
In our tradition, humbleness is very important. So I learned meditation when I was 9 years old because of panic attacks, very severe panic attacks.
Yes.
So first we need to learn the calm abiding meditation, being. So that's a systematically step-by-step practice. So could be your breath, could be sound, could be silent recitation, could be a form, anything, what we call, nothing cannot become support for your meditation. Basically anything. So first connect with awareness through that particular object, let's say breathing.
Yeah.
And then slowly, slowly, mind come inward. Feel the body. Awareness of the body. Feeling, sensation.
Yeah.
Then mind. So mind, we have thought.
Yes.
Bala, 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 yada, 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 yada. And then we have emotion.
Yes.
So in the end, you can use panic attacks as support for meditation. Could be anger. Could be jealousy. Could be depression. Could be sadness. And then everything becomes support for meditation. So what we call suffering become happiness.
Mm.
Poison become medicine.
Yes.
So when you see the panic, you're out of panic.
Yeah.
But panic's still there.
Yeah.
Like when we look at the river, we are out of river, right?
Yeah.
But the river is still there.
Yeah.
You don't need to stop the river.
Yeah.
So what we call our fundamental nature.
Yeah.
It's like sky, panic attacks, clashes, mistakes, sufferings.
Yeah.
Are like storm in the sky.
Yes.
Pollution, storm cannot change the nature of sky. No matter how storm, how bad they are.
Yeah.
Sky is always beyond present, peaceful.
Yeah.
So that's our fundamental quality of the mind.
Yeah.
What I call inner sky.
Yeah, wow. So meditation is a way to maintain that inner sky of yours that enables you to get through your pebbles, your dark clouds, your whatever. Yeah, so coming back to you in terms of how do you start your day? What are the kind of, would you like to enlighten us, tell us about the kind of meditation that you do when you start your day with? And is it that you change your meditation techniques throughout the day, or is it the same meditation technique?
So, yeah, of course, the meditation purpose is to discover the awareness always there like sky. It's not try to get rid of the thought, emotion, all this. It's impossible normally. So many people misunderstand about meditation that they think meditation is think of nothing or looking for bliss, joy, peace. But these are misunderstood. If you try to stop thinking, you will think more.
Yeah.
So let's say, don't think about chawal dal, no rice, no dal. We only think about chawal dal, right? So no pizza, we think about pizza more. But if you look for peace and calm and joy, they will run away normally.
Yeah.
Like in the night, we want to sleep. I need to sleep. I need to sleep. What happened? Sleep disappear. So these two are the normal pattern.
Yeah.
So if you learn meditation, become friends with these two, then meditation become very difficult. So for us, meditation meaning just connect with the awareness itself. So I try to meditate in the morning. Even
what time?
Depending on the day, mostly I wake up around sometimes 6, sometimes 7, sometimes 4, sometimes.
So there is no fixed time.
No fixed time.
You can meditate any time of the day.
Any time.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, any time. Yeah. But normally I try to meditate in the morning about 1 hour.
Okay.
Then my daily life, very busy schedule. I'm going here and there meeting people.
Yeah.
So what kind of meditation I do? So normally we have step-by-step meditation. In the end, what we call no meditation. So best meditation is no meditation.
No meditation, yes.
Meaning, you just being with the natural state of your own mind.
Yes.
And that, you don't have to hold it.
Yes.
You don't have to meditate on it. Because it's always there with you. So you don't have to do anything.
Yeah. It's always there with you. So the best, so you have to reach to the point of no meditation.
Yeah, step by
step. Yeah, I mean, it's not easy. So when you're talking about you connect with your awareness, how do you define awareness? Is awareness same as consciousness, or just to put it in a very layman's language, being mindful every moment, which means that I know exactly how I'm sitting, how I'm talking to you. My focus is completely you right now. So how do you define term like awareness, mindfulness, consciousness?
So you're asking me this question, right? What is awareness? So where this question comes from? From awareness.
Mm.
So all our thought, emotion, perception are in the awareness. Like all the cloud are in the sky, right? Mm. Without sky, nothing, no cloud, no pollution. So awareness meaning knowing quality, the lucidity, the luminous aspect of the mind. Yeah. You can see my hand, you can hear, you can smell, you can feel the temperature, you can think, all this are the awareness, manifestation of awareness.
Yeah.
So important is first we need to recognize what we call view to recognize awareness. Then maintain that view, you can use any object. Breathing okay, sound okay, feeling, this building here, the table, anything, knowing. But the object is not important. That awareness is important. So if you do that again, then slowly. First, awareness is like hidden. Like normally, we only see thought, emotion, perception, happy, not happy, suffering, blah, 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 yada, yada. Mm. We only see the cloud first, right?
Yeah.
Slowly, you will see the awareness, like sky.
Yeah.
No need to get rid of the cloud, but you discover the sky. So we have this wonderful awareness with us all the time. But maybe first step, we can use simple thing, especially in Asia, the mental recitation is really useful. So you can have any prayer, pray for your divine, the mantra, whatever. Or you can come up special word, say, I'm fine, everything's fine. Repeat that word in the mind. Don't use your lips and tongues. Close your mouth. I'm fine, everything fine. I'm fine, everything fine. So just repeat that. And don't worry about the meaning, whether I'm fine or not. So when we do that, also it helps to reconnect with awareness, mindfulness. So if you can recite this in the mind, 100% sure, you're with awareness, connecting with awareness. Then whatever thought comes, okay. Jawadal comes, okay. To-do list comes, okay. Blah, blah, yada, yada.
Yeah.
If you still remember that word, whatever thought, emotion is okay.
So how do we know what is the level of our awareness? Because everyone's level will be different. And when you are doing meditation practices every day, you will get closer to awareness. You will be more aware. So how do I know? How do I measure that?
So we are talking here about what we call the ultimate awareness. Not the what I'm doing, I'm holding the mic, I'm here on the chair, or what I'm doing. That's quite stressful, you know. If you train that, also can be support for meditation, of course, but sometimes it may not make you more calm and feel. So that is not so important. But important is whatever thought, emotion, feeling comes, there's a background. Like when we go to watch a movie, there's a projector, right?
Yeah.
And the projector projecting on the screen,
there's
a lot of story, good story, bad story.
Yeah.
But the nature of all this story is the light.
Yes.
The dark is a light, yellow is a light, green is a light,
yes.
White, yellow is light. Everything's the light.
Yeah.
So that light is the awareness itself.
Yeah.
So we have this inner light, the fundamental quality of the mind, always there. So when we more recognize that light, inner light, let's say the awareness, then cloud doesn't matter, thought, emotion doesn't matter, panic doesn't matter. They can come, they can go, and we are not lost with that. And eventually they may become support for happiness too.
So do we need a teacher who can make us aware about this? Or do you think people can individually sit in their houses, go on a YouTube channel and try and become aware?
We can learn a lot from the YouTube, from the books. But then if you want to go more deeper, I think we should have ongoing path with the teacher.
Okay, what is karma? And do you believe in karma? And do you think that a lot of us, all of us actually, have different forms of karma? And that is something that we need to, or we can, or maybe we cannot eradicate it?
Karma meaning what for us is the imprint. It is the habitual tendency in the subconscious.
Yes.
What we call alaya.
Yes.
Imprint on the alaya.
Yeah.
And it manifesting.
Yeah.
Every day. So our perception, everything is influenced by karma. For example, if I want to steal an apple, we have four things. The intention is very important. I want to steal that apple. Then you know there is apple, number two, what we call the base. And the action, okay, you look around, nobody there, and you go to that shop, apple shop.
Yeah.
And the last one, what we call complete, now you got the apple. Okay, I got it. The moment you know you got the apple, the imprint go to the subconscious. And at the beginning, it's just tiny, small. Then it grows to the what we call mind and the body. The stream of the mind and body become bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Then it come to the senses then.
Yeah.
Eyes, ear, nose. Then one day you have the what we call contact, the trigger. Then a karmic result comes.
Yeah.
So stealing
yeah.
is a negative karma. The result, a sensation, unpleasant sensation.
Yeah.
And then we crave about that. Then we will make another karma. It's go round, 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 round. But for the karma, most important is the motivation. So if you see the apple there, apple has poison. Someone put poison.
Yeah.
And someone eat, they will die. And you convince them, nobody listen, then you want to steal that apple to save all these people. You steal apple,
yeah.
it doesn't make negative karma. Actually become positive karma.
Mm.
So really begin by our mind.
Mm.
Then we do follow by action.
Mm.
Then imprint in the stream of consciousness. And that manifests as karma. It's not like karma meaning, normally people think karma meaning just a fixed rule or law is there. So we don't believe like that. It's all a mental state, but of course it manifests connected with our perception, the world, the environment, the body, mind, three involves together, karmic results are happening.
But do you think the past life karma is something that we carry in our life and we have to repay the debt sometime in my life, in our life? So also adding to that, so that's individual, but to give a more wider picture to it, the conflicts, the war, the Russia attacking Ukraine. Do you think that karma is going to go to the people who are trying to harm lesser privileged people? Do you think that will stay? Do you think they'll have to pay? Or do you think we all who are, at some point in our life doing wrong, will have to pay back?
So karma has two things.
Yeah.
Individual karma, collective karma.
Yes.
So karma, previous karma, also imprint.
Yeah.
We put this imprint from the past. It stays in the stream of consciousness. Now it's happening. Now it's so we meet here. There might have some past karma. Building, the Mumbai.
Yes.
Mumbai, all this, everything. So not everything whatever happened now is not a result of past karma also. We have free will. We can also create new karma.
Yeah.
The future is in our own hand.
Okay.
So now there's a war,
yeah.
might be past the collective karma, might be temporary, what we call obstacle.
Yeah.
And whatever happening now, if we crave, attach to that, then we will make new karma.
Yeah.
And of course, we will have karmic result. Once you imprint that, if you don't have the right antidote, the result sure will come.
Mm-hmm. What is your definition of well-being? How do you define daily well-being in an individual?
So for me, the well-being is the more you connect with the innate quality, awareness, love and compassion, wisdom that is with us all the time. That is the, when you more and more connected with that, that is the well-being. So normally, what we call dukkha meaning suffering.
Yeah.
Suffering meaning there's a hollowness. Dissatisfying something, even you become very famous, very rich, very powerful, still hollow there. But then when we connect with innate qualities, that hollow will be more content. more joyful, the feeling of okay. Love without reason, compassion without concept, awareness without object. So these are what we call the well-being. So that's the, I think, really important to connect with them.
Yeah. Okay, so you're saying that you have to connect with that hollowness.
Yes.
How do you do that?
So to feel that hollow, first, if you're aware of that, bring awareness of the sensation of the hollow, looks like at the beginning getting worse. And then just connecting with that hollow is awareness. So that awareness automatically feels the hollow. Or we connect with the love and the compassion, also feel the hollow, or wisdom. So these three ways. The more you connect, for example, if you do social work, help others, really feel happy, right? But if you, even you become very successful, you got everything, but inside, something feeling like not right. Why? Because our innate quality has awareness, love and compassion and wisdom. The more you connect with that, we feel more happy. But then the surface level, we have this, what we call unhealthy sense of self, which is opposite of awareness, love and compassion and wisdom. Even if we follow that, become very successful, we feel like away from our home, who we are.
How do we resolve the conflicts in the world?
So I think the most important is everybody, both party, try to connect with the love and compassion and wisdom.
Yeah.
That is the only solution, I think.
Yeah.
But everybody don't want to let go from their side.
Yeah.
And just want to defeat by force, with anger, with hatred.
Yeah.
Get worse.
Yeah. So how do we tackle such people? What are the daily activities that, and it's not just the war, it's also the daily, it can be like your office conflicts, it can be your home conflicts, where power or where ego or where these things can, how do you resolve that on a daily basis? Who needs to do what?
So when Buddha was in India, there's a lot of conflicts.
Yeah.
And the Buddha, like revealer, he, you know, against the caste system, the social innate, the unequalness, everything. But Buddha never did by violence or fighting or anything, but with the love, with the compassion, with the wisdom. So wisdom, compassion together normally has become very powerful.
Yeah.
And you have to see which situation. They may not have one solution for everything, but use your wisdom. And persistence is also very important. Listening is very important.
Yeah.
Try to understand others, very important. But how to help?
Yeah.
Peaceful, enhancement, inspire.
Yeah.
Even sometime with the powerful activity, so many different ways to help.
What are the daily activities of self-discipline that you inculcate in yourself?
So for me, I think really important to have habit.
Yeah.
So the habit wins everything normally.
Yeah.
Whatever we do, intellectual, like if you ask people, do you believe that doing physical exercise every day is good or not?
Yeah.
Everybody say yes. Do you do physical exercise every day? Most people say no.
Yeah.
So why? Because intellectual and our habit not matching.
Yeah.
So in our tradition, what we call to build new habit, it will take 21 to 30 days. So for example, first time I learned meditation, my teacher said, don't meditate too long. Maybe 3 minutes, maybe 5 minutes. But important is every day. So I meditate every day 3 minutes at the beginning. Every day. First week, okay. Second week, very difficult. Not today, tomorrow. But then when you reach the fourth week, it's become like habit. Then after that, I can meditate again and again. So for me, like daily routine, daily practice is very important.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One thing that people can do to maintain their well-being.
Mm-mm.
Daily.
So, yeah. So I think one of the most important is appreciate. Appreciate about your life. The moment we wake up in the morning, appreciate that you're still alive. Appreciate that there's a roof. Maybe there's a ground, there's earth, there's a trees, there's a people. And not only that, we have this innate awareness. We all have this love and compassion. So many things around us, normally we don't know. So maybe at the beginning, just appreciate three things every day. Maybe you can write down, oh, today I washed dishes. How wonderful. I met my friends. How wonderful. I have a meeting with my family. How wonderful. So just three things. So if you appreciate that every day three things, it really helps to connect with the more to the our innate qualities.
Wow, lovely, lovely. Thank you so much, Rinpoche, for your time. Appreciation is such an important thing.
Most welcome.
I hope this episode adds tremendous value to your life. It definitely did to my life, and I thoroughly enjoyed these deep conversations on what are we doing here, and is reincarnation for real, or where are we heading, and what are we chasing, and why are relationships so complicated, and blah blah blah. So I hope you got something deep out of this. Do let us know. Follow our Instagram handle, The SOS Show Pod. And stay connected. Take care.